All right, with the last sif in Simon Pei Tes. Which at first glance is innocent enough, but there is one wider topic which is touched on here in Pei Tes, and that's the Sif Dalid. We've been talking here in Simon Pei Tes about the harchakais between Basar and Gevina. So the Mechaber says, Misha achal Gevina v'roitza lechol Basar. Somebody who ate Gevina and now wants to have meat, sarach levar me'al ha'shulchad shirei pasha achlu im ha'gevina. The bread that was eaten with cheese cannot be eaten with meat. Basar lechol Gevina al mapa sha'achlu ba'basar. Similarly, it's also to eat on the same tablecloth. You're not allowed to eat meat on the same tablecloth on which you had cheese, or cheese on the same tablecloth on which you had meat. Now,
again, considering that they weren't eating on plates.
So the Pisrei Tshuva and Sivkot Neches points out, I am a shekosav radvaz chelateis tov shenchof aleph, shekosav she'ein divrei arav eluk shoyim anichin habosav v'agvina ala mapa. This is when they ate on on the tablecloth. Oz yeshlocha shemid v'kuzeh b'zeh. Al minogenu lahavi kol ha-maychol ala shulchan b'kairos. But the minig in most places, outside of the dorm, is to eat things on plates. Hilka chafilu lotes yidechum resa rashba. B'hipuch hamak b'luchun. It's enough to turn the tablecloth upside down or to remove the crumbs. That's the Pisrei Tshuva's chiddush lekula. What? That nowadays, when we eat on plates, this is all not negeya. Now, I don't know about you, but by us on Shabbos, after we take all the plates off the table, the tablecloth is plenty, has plenty of food on it. And it's not only crumbs, it's Shirei Kol Minei Maichel. Yeah, well, maybe in a Yakish home it'll be different, but I've had all types of people in my house, and every Shabbos when we clear the table, it's always, the tablecloth is always rainbow colored. It's always, there's always plenty of food on it, no? Am I the only one?
No.
Huh?
But
there's plenty of food on it. There's no meat on the table. I didn't analyze, but I think this one. Really? All right, so I guess some homes are different than other homes. I don't know, but anyway, the minig is like I'm saying. The minig is to have separate tablecloths for milchus of fleishiks and. Well, plastic's also tablecloths, right? Yeah, what's under the plastic doesn't matter, except to the women. But the we're talking about the plastics, the whatever's under the plate. There's a chiddush in the Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah that although to kasher, normally we have very strict requirements for kashering, for a tablecloth, it's enough to wash it, and when you wash it, to bang it as you wash it with hot water, and the washing is good enough for cloth. That's the chiddush that it says. Kalim, you have to do hagolah, which would mean if you wanted to kasher a tablecloth, you have to have boiling water, bubbling water, and put the tablecloth into bubbling water. Nobody washes, the washing machines don't have 212 degree water. And the Gemara says that a tablecloth, it's enough that you, even though hot food went on and a davar gush and blias went in, it's enough to kasha that way.
And that's what they ate on.
And that's that's even when they ate
when
on.
They ate on.
That's even when they ate on. And that's even for Pesach. The Gemara, the end of Avodah Zarah, and in the Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph in the Yerodea, this is brought down. Hilchas Hagolas Kalim. I just wonder. You could put a fleishik and milchik tablecloth together, I guess so.
And
the water has shisha against the basa b'chalav. What about bishul basa b'chalav?
Put on the cold
cycle. I don't think that's what he means. That's what his wife wants to do. It's pogum because of the soap. It fills without soap first. Oh no, you put in the soap right away. It's not like a dishwasher.
No,
there's also shishim. There's always shishim with the water. Can I get the connection? I just wonder, like Basi Allah Ayer, all the Pesach booklets tell you that you can use towels or tablecloths just by washing them in hot water, putting them in a washing machine with hot water. And I think many homes have separate Pesach dik, but as far as the rules are concerned, it says what? Well, it says in the Gemara, it says in Shulchan Aruch. I just wonder if that's only true for cloth, or if that's true for synthetic material as well. Synthetic material is not cloth. Polyester or nylon is not cloth. They're sheets of plastic that are cut into very thin strips like threads and used as threads. They're not cloth in that they're the same fabric as plastic. And what? Is the reason because it's the nature of cloth that the bleas go out through washing? Because bleas are not a question of cleanliness. Bleas are a question of something absorbed in it. If you have a keli that absorbs a blea and you scrub it all day, it's perfectly clean. It's still kadaser. So if I have a plastic keli and it absorbs, so it's going to aser until I kasher it in boiling water, even a question of plastic, if boiling water works. And I take that plastic, I cut it into strips, I make a tablecloth, and it's b'lei achamit, it's a fleishik, some ilachik, and then I could kasher it, putting it in a washing machine. I don't know, it would seem that this is a chiddush has to do with cloth, and that it's unique to cloth. Ein lecha by yela chiddushay. If you take a waterproof raincoat, that was b'lei atreifus. If it wasn't b'lei atreifus, it's no problem. If it wasn't b'lei, I have no problem. Right. And then it becomes treif. If it has hot milchix, if you have material, right. If you have pashtus, everything needs agala. Pashtus, everything has to be kashered. How do you kasher? We have rules. So it comes along the Gemara with a chiddush that cloth is different. Cloth, the rules of agala are different. It's enough to wash it with hot water and soap and bang it, which is, I guess, what happens in our machines, and that's adequate. Okay, have a chiddush by cloth. Can I take that cloth now and extend it to material which is not made out of cloth, which is made out of synthetics, which is made out of something else that we assume is bileya in a solid form? Does the fact that it's cut into strings change its halacha?
Well, I don't know.
If I take a hard plastic tablecloth, it's bileya, so I have to kasher it.
That would have to be kasher.
I have to kasher it. So, and the Pesach Dominic is not the kasher plastic.
Right.
Ramesh was not the kasher.
So Ray wants to know if it's now cut into...
If it's now made into strings, it does not look like a... It only looks like a fiber when it's made into a cloth.
Right.
If you have nylon string, you know nylon string doesn't look anything like thread,
no.
Right? The nylon strings they use it sometimes for an Erev. Yeah.
But if you go the other way, the tablecloth is the most that it could ever be related is the
Urim and Thummim. Or Davakosh. It's always that
what would happen if you would use the cloth as a strainer? See, the strain cheese, let's say, or the strain
it's hot.
Hot.
Right, so the washing process is called kashering. That's what it says in the Gemara.
Not only tablecloth.
Any cloth. Gemara says it about cloth. Are we passing that way about cloth? The question of whether that applies to polyester or nylon is, I don't have a Maharam Hakim for it, I don't know. It's just the assumption that's printed in all these magazines and all these articles that it says towels and tablecloths, you just do a regular washing with hot water. So I think one of them says to do it twice. I don't know why twice, but how does that work? How does that work for polyester, nylon? I don't know. Now, it's not so negeya, because I think most people are machmir, and to have separate things, but halacha, the way it's printed, is the question.
Well, the same problem here. He has the same problem. He said it's not a problem.
Excuse me?
So we're saying
oh, so you're right. You're right. If we can assume that our tablecloths are never really Balea from a Kli Rishon or a Dava Gush, you're right. In other words, the question is, do I have to be Chayshish that I was once taking a hot cutlet and it fell on the tablecloth? It's comments on it. And it fell. So the Pischei Tshuva doesn't say that. The Pischei Tshuva is talking about Be'en, not about Blias. He's saying that you have to worry about Be'en. We use tablecloths. So it's enough, he says, to wipe off the crumbs. What's his lashon? Hippachamapa, sarsapsisi. So you wipe it off. Now what are you worried about? About Blias. So, all right, so maybe that's why our tablecloths, we also shouldn't be worried about Blias. Yeah, except if it happens, and you have to ask a shayla. All right, so shayla would only come up if someone knows he's using a chametz like a tablecloth. He's not worried about pliyas, and then his hot food fell on the tablecloth. Now he has a shayla. So then my question is the question whether the washing process is adequate. A dava gush or a kliyush. Well, Pesach Shuvah says you can use the same tablecloth. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That way you get the crumbs off.
Or to bang it out. Banging it out is the same thing? It could be the same side.
I think it means to use the other side. I guess you mean to turn it over and then turn it back straight side up. I think hippachamapa. Or uba hasara subsisin. I think it means or.
Taking it out is the same thing.
It'd be the same thing.
Why is it a chumras of the Rashba? Why does he call it a chumras of the Rashba? It should be really a cool of the Rashba to do this because you don't have to wash it. You can just shake it or turn it over.
No, he means the chumras of Rashba, which is reported in the Shulchan Aruch. Two separate tablecloths.
Right.
That chumra is only when they ate on the tablecloth. The chumra does not apply when you eat on plates, as we said. All right, let's return to the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know, does he mean Hippachamapa and Asara Sapsisin? I would think Hippachamapa is sort of an automatic. An automatic Asara Sapsisin. But if you do, you have a choice. Either turn over the mapa or remove the crumbs. So what was suggesting is this, that maybe everybody eats like we do in our house. And there's plenty of food on the tablecloth. But the food from the table doesn't come back onto the plate.
When it fills up next to the plate and they grit it on and fill it back on the plate.
All right, it doesn't so much help. So maybe that's what it means, that there's no cheshesh.
I don't know, I've seen it happen.
You mean why do you have to have a tablecloth? Because the answer is not exact size. That's really the answer. Okay.
You have bread on the table. You use your hands to cut the bread. I don't want to do shiny because
right, so you can't use the bread. That anyway said, Sharif passes us. Yeah, I should point that out. We're getting sidetracked with the tablecloth. I should point out that halacha of Sharif pass is halacha. Bread left over from a fleishig meal should not be used in a milchik meal. A milchik and a fleishig meal. Of course, with the exception that some people have separate baskets for the bread and they don't put bread back there, then it's different. But pas that's left over on the table, it's a takana d'rabbanan not to use.
Cut away the outside.
If you take the thing in your hand and slice it.
No, you've had a rye bread, which you slice it, put it on the table. People take slices from it.
Right. So if you have it on the table, it's a problem. Yeah. If you have it in a separate keli, it's not a problem.
That's right.
It's usually the case.
But what were you using a fleishig knife to cut
it? Cake at a kiddush. What about the leftover cake at a kiddush, which they serve here today, I think, in the morning? Yeah. You have that with your coffee?
Yeah.
I don't think cake is put back into the tray when people take it. Any people take it? Well, the bread that's in a basket, which all the achrayim say is mutter, doesn't seem well chayshish that he patched with it and got flesh on it. Yeah.
So the bread that's in the basket, if you have one basket, people take out slices.
Right, so it's okay.
What's in the basket?
Is there a din for that with whole bilkis too? If there's a whole bilki that goes on a fleishig table and
it'll
be taken back.
A bilkel, a roll. It's the same thing. Anything that's on the table is during the meal is included in the problem. It puts if you segregate it.
So if you have sliced challah, it can't be used for French toast Sunday morning.
You put milk in your French toast, I assume.
No, it's made of
parm, though. Parm, so it's all right, let's get to the main point of the Sif. The Chol Shekein, second half. Now we're going to touch now on a very wide topic, and that's the topic of knives. Hadakasha knives and what the status of knives are, and the important, what the status of knives is. Not are. I'm still in the Mechaber, the second half of the Mechaber in Dallas. Now, I don't want you to jump. There are two questions regarding using a fleshy knife, a milchke knife. One question is l'chatchila, and one question is b'di'evit. I know as soon as we start, everyone's going to jump. What happens if you did it? We have to go in order. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say b'di'evit. We'll learn l'chatchila, and then we'll talk about b'di'evit. So let's see what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The choshke, she'osa lachtech gevina, afilot zaynenes, B'sakin sheregilin lachtech basar. It's osur to cut cheese, even cold cheese, with a knife with which it's the custom to cut meat. In other words, a fleshig knife, you don't cut cheese. Pshita, right? You tell your wife, what did you learn today? Oh, I learned that you don't, anyway. V'loyayid, ela afilu pas sha'ichlinim gedina. Osur lachtech b'sakin sheregilin by basar. To use a fleshig knife to cut the challah for milk, that's also aser. That doesn't say b'di'evet. If you have leftover challah, we'll have to see. But it says to cut it, that's aser. But now we turn to the Ramah. You know, the next page by you. There's no mefarshim on this, right? There's zero mefarshim on the page. We're talking here, even Eina Binyane, which I'll explain. B'chei lehepach dami aser. Milk is to fleishik, fleishik to milchik, all the same. Miu al yidei ne'itza b'karka kosher shari. However, through ni'itza, in hard ground, it's permitted, and I'll explain ni'itza. Aval kfar nogu kol Yisrael, liyaz lam shnei sakinim, velushim echamem she'elei heker. They have two knives, one of them should have a heker, nogu lushim shalcholav, and mishanas minu shal Yisrael. If you put a piece of tape, you have two identical knives, and you want to put a piece of tape on one to say what it is, minu Yisrael is to put the roshim on the milchika knife, and on the fleshika knife, there's still some simon. I had to remember that the milchika one is, I forgot the simon. And that's the minig. But by us, we have blue and red, which was milchik. Blue is milchik, right? Everyone knows, and red is fleshik. Okay. I'm kidding. To taste it? Okay, so let me explain. Let me explain that two things. First, let's talk about ni'itza, and then we'll talk more generally. Ni'itza b'karka here is not explained. It's explained in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph. Ni'itza is b'karka kosha eser panim. You have to stick it into hard ground 10 times, and not in the same ground twice, because it gets soft when you stick it in. And that is a means of kashering a knife from and for only cold. In other words, fahat and itagola. It's not a kula. It's not. Instead of kashering, you stick it in the ground. No. We're talking about something that's used for cold. If it would be a spoon that's used for cold, it's not a problem. If somebody eats yogurt with a fleshig spoon, so there's no shayla. You just rinse off the spoon with lukewarm water, and there's no problem. If you use a milchik spoon for something that's fleishik, it's not a problem. The shayla is things, a knife, and I should mention a fork could have the same din as a knife. If you stick a fork into a davar kosher, if you can stick a fork into a roast beef and you pick it up to take it off the thing, that's the same as ni'itza. That's also sticking it with kayach. Duchka de sakina. Duchka de sakina means something you cut with pressure. Now, at first I just wanted to define the Itza B'karka. That's the Itza B'karka. What women, the generation is never dying away. When we were kids, we had grandmothers and that had knives in their flower pots. They used to stick it into the flower pot and leave it there for a day or a week or a month, and then it was kosher. That I remember my grandmother, La Shalom, I came to her house. I didn't know what it was. It was growing, you know, out of the flower pot. There's no such thing. I want to be clear. There's no such thing. So what does this do?
It allows you to use
a fleshic knife for milchitz. A milchitz knife for fleshic that was only used for cold. Also, yes, also, if it was too cold. Yes. Now, again, the eitzah only helps with things that are cold. Now, Fidiyah HaGoli, you never need the eitzah. That's why it's rarely done, because today we do HaGoli, and HaGoli satisfies the needs as well. Why can't you just wash it? Okay, why is it enough to wash it? We're talking, again, not about hat yet. We're talking about a knife that was used. Most knives in a person's house, most of the milk could I use for what? For butter and cream cheese. You cut cheese sometimes. It could be used for duffel kush occasionally, but let's say it's a little bit cold. Ice cream cake is hard, right?
It was never used for hot.
So some of it was never used for hot milchik mamish. Let's say you have such a knife. So we said it's enough to do ne'itza. What is the purpose of ne'itza? There's a machlokes to shach and taz and hilchos shchit and simin yud. The taz says that the pshat is that the shuman davel kalpanav, a knife, since you put so much pressure when you cut, the fat or the film of be'en sticks to the knife. And even though the knife to your eye looks clean, you'll see sometimes if you run your finger on a perfectly clean knife, you'll get an oily, I don't know if the oil comes from the finger, but it seems to get an oily film on it. And a knife has this aspect of duchat hasakina, which means things stick to it, and therefore you stick it into packed earth, and that wipes it very well, and that does the trick. The shach holds that it's a thin be'en. The duchat hasakina creates more than a thin blia. It's more than a be'en. There's a thin blia in the knife as well. And that blia is very close to the surface. And the nature of duchka is that it gets into the keli and it gets out. By sticking it, doing a duchka into karka kasha as upon him, it comes out. L'chayis the taz and the shach, it's almost semantics, whether we're going to call it be'en or kimay blia, or it's a kitsas blia. It's pretty much the same thing, but they argue on how to define it. Because it's a ben with a blia. It's like I said, it's mostly, there'll be nachkaminis, but it's mostly a question of language. Now, there is one popular discussion today, and that is whether if you scrub it with steel wool and detergent, whether that would satisfy the requirement of needs of a karka. People say this Rav said this, this Rav said that. It's not a new machlokes. They didn't start cleaning things. Everyone thinks till the 20th century everyone was filthy, and all of a sudden everyone got clean. So when they talked about knives, yeah, they were not sanitary, and they were etc. Not true. Rabbi Kiva Eger in Siman Tzadik Vav on Shas of Cotton Gimel, which is the second Rabbi Kiva Eger in Siman Tzadik Vav, he brings a machlokes, an early machlokes on Namish this Shaila, and he quotes at Siman Tzadik Vav the second Rabbi Kiva Eger. It's called Shachs of Cotton Gimel. And it's Yisaitis Dikar Rebbe Kiva Eger. When we learned it, Rav Palm discussed it. I'll tell you what he said about it. Rebbe Kiva Eger there says that it's enough to wash it. He says, Im Madichai, because of Hagav Hashem, he's quoting a Hagav, the Teres Chatas, De Madichai, Tzarech Ladiach, Kol Kach, Yezuva Amayim, Mereisha L'Saifi, Sefer L'Reishai, B'loi Ikuv. He said it like this. You take the knife, if you scrubbed it, you put a drop of water on the edge of the blade and let it run down and see if it runs down smoothly. If the drop of water runs down smoothly, it means it's perfectly clean. And if not, it's not clean. So you do, he says you have to do a test in both directions. That comes from Hilchos Shechita. We have a pagam. The shechit can't check his only one way because there might be on the other way down, you might catch it. So he says you got to do test it both ways. Might as well stick it in the ground 10 times, right? But anyway, but the Teres Chatas has such an idea. Teres Chatas, as you know, is the Ramah. And Teres Chatas says that Hadoch is good if you test it. And then he says, the Michas Yaakov, another Kadmon, says, you don't have to stick it in the ground, you wipe it clean it with a Dava Kasha. L'chatchila, the Michas Yaakov says, Then he brings the chuvas chut hashani mistapek by mishasakin hayanaki. He's mesupik imamrina milsa v'lay ramya, which you have to explain. But then he brings from the tefuah shar hela the b'lay mekonach that din bin the itza afila di eved asa bediach yafa v'lay naatza. He brings the tefuah shar. That's not so. I think the way Rav Palm quoted the tefuah shar is that do we know the difference between 9 itzas and 10 itzas? So we have a Kabbalah to do it a certain way, so we do it their way. When I learned by Rav Palm Yeredeya, it was the second cycle of Yeredeya that he was teaching, I believe, and he was very much Naita Lahachmir, that we have a Kabbalah, Nita Makaka Asarapanim, so we have a Kabbalah, that's what we do. He mentioned then that a certain Rebbe in the Yeshiva says steel wool is good. Apparently somebody had made a tumult the previous cycle. He mentioned that Rav Kahana says steel wool is good. I don't know if you have to steel wool 10 times, you know, if you have to kaka 10 times, or steel wool 10 times, so maybe you have to run back and forth 10 times, maybe. But that's what he said. Later years, according to what I was told by people in the Shir, he was more tushitas on the topic. You know, he was more accepting of the two opinions. But it's hard to, what Chazal say, mitzvah b'kaka asar apamim, without a clear makar, it's a little hard to be make a lechatchila and say to do it nitzah.
It would seem you have to do nitzah b'karka.
It would seem you have to. If someone did nitzah 9 times and he came to me and I ran the water down the edge, it would seem to be good. I don't think that's
how it goes. Yaakov Avinu had a geveis of 200 goats. That's good 200 when you have a purpose for something.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Just like the goats. They were fleshic.
There's a purpose.
Okay. He's referring to something I said in Shul yesterday. So.
And you have a knife that has a handle that's not metal. How do you know that it doesn't go up to the...
Okay. Good. Okay, so I'm talking about nitzah b'karka. The question of knives is a far wider-ranging discussion than what it says here. The question of knives is complicated. Baruch Hashem, we're wealthy, and we have not 2 sets of knives, 3 sets of knives, a pair of knives also.
Serrated and not serrated,
and having a handle, not having a handle. It's very difficult to conquer everything at one time. I want to learn, there's a Shach and Taz here also, just remind me. I just want to tell you that basically, the rule of Duchta de Sakina is not, it's not, most things are complicated because there's so many shitas. This is not complicated because there's so many shitas. It's complicated because there's so many variables. The din of using a knife for a different min, basically, if you already used a fleshig knife for something milachik, b'di'evit, or a milachik knife for something fleshig. So basically, there are 4, or you can call it 5 levels of mitzias, of fact, and what you could do. Let's say someone cut a potato with a milachik knife and he wants to put it into a chalent. So, potatoes are never kosher, a bad example. Something soft. What goes in? Why do you cut that soft? Cooked potato. Someone cut something that's soft, so it's enough to rinse it. Hadocha sagi. You cut with a knife, something soft, a dover rach, so hadocha sagi. Now what happens if you cut it, rinsing it off? Not the knife, the potato. The place where the knife touched the potato, that the soft potato, that's where you cut. Now what happens if you cut... It doesn't matter. Anything. You wash the potato, yeah. What happens if the thing you cut was a piece of sponge cake, which you can't do hadachah to, it's going to ruin it. So it says to do greira. That's the next level. Now you just rub off a little, a small level of the crumbs off the surface, and that's enough. That's the second level. The third level is a davar kasher. A davar kasher, you have to cut off kedei klipa.
Knife.
Use a different knife. What is kedei klipa? Klipa is a thickness that could stay together. In other words, the thinnest thing you could do that would be like a skin, a layer, that's klipa, that's the third level. The fourth level is a dava charif. A dava charif needs kedei netila l'kuli alma. It needs at least kedei netila. Netila is removing a thumb width, almost an inch. Yeah, okay. So dava charif, you have to remove more, and it's a little more complicated. That's Simen Tzadik Vav, we're going to get to it. There are cases where the Rama says lechatchila to be chayshish that davar charav is b'leah b'kulay. We'll get to this in a davar shamin and not a davar shamin. We'll get to it. But the ikar adin is kedei netila, and of course something hot goes b'kulay, which is the fifth level, which is the same as kol tayra kula. Anything hot, a knife, a fork, or a spoon, whatever it is, goes b'kulay. Those are basically the five levels: hadacha for something cold and soft, greir is something cold and soft that can't be washed. And kedei netklipa for a davar kasha, kedei netila for a davar charif, and something hot, of course, goes bekulai, and you need shishin. What? And this is all even ayin v'nyam. By Dr. Sakina, we're machmir even ayin v'nyam. The issues of handles of a knife is a very difficult one, because when you want a kasher, the rule is you can't kasher something that has cracks in it for be'en. I mentioned this Pesach time by kashering bechers that have a lip, a fold over lip. Really can't be kasher for Pesach because it's impossible to know that you cleaned it perfectly. And we don't kasher things that have cracks unless we look at the cracks and we can see that they're tight and there's no ben. The Aruch HaShulchan calls this a chumri yaseira. He says that clean it as best you could and it's adequate. But most of the paiskim are serious about the cracks in the knives. Rav Palm had a kula, which he asked a lot of Gedolei Yisrael if they know a makar. And Rav Palm was Mekel Lamaisa, by knives that have handles that were, let's say, Milchika knives, and they were used once for Fleishiks, or they were used once for Treifis. So his argument was that the chashash that a knife has be'en, that would be a problem, in the cracks should primarily be an issue where it says, by a Treif knife, that you now want a kasher. So we're afraid there's ban of treifis in the cracks. That's the case that where it says. We're afraid there's a ban of treifis in the cracks. So that's something that was used many times. Ban gets there. You know, you finish the meal, you throw all your kalim into the sink, together with, you fill up a bucket of water with your kalim, and there's gravy from the spoons, and there's ban from the fork, and there's ban gets there, it gets into the crack. But something that you only used once for treifis, by mistake. So that once, you know what you did. Why should I have to be chayshish this ban? So there, the chashash is already less. You're worried that that small amount ban is going to be makiv on the hagola. It's not a davar amistavar. And therefore, he was neiter to be nekel. He once told me, the Rav Tuvia Goldstein told him that the Divrei Malkiel says this kula, and he asked me to find it. And we tried, not only me, a few guys in yeshiva, went through all five chalotim with Divrei Malkiel to try to find it. And then we even got, they put out recently a sixth chalik, Mr. Rav Cook, recently then. It's not in the regular sets. It wasn't really. So maybe Agav somewhere in the Divrei Malkiel, but it's not a primary topic of the tshuva. But as this is a quick synopsis of the halachas of a knife, the Simchas Tzaddik Vav, we're going to get to it with a bigger arichas. Because for that level of ban, Hagala helps. For that small level of ban, the Hagala does the trick. Whatever that is.
You should really have to do the Itza before you do
Hagala. No, that's why you don't have to do the Itza before. Okay. That's this. Okay. I wanted to just tell you the Taz Vav, just quickly. That's all to cut cheese with milk. The Tazvav is on the last page, the later page that we're on the Ramah. Okay, and then next slide. Tazvav is the top line. Zekoya mashkasa shereitz lachta gavina b'sakin shalbasa. Mashkasa shereitz lachta lechem loitzorach rakinuach hasakin. If you're not cutting a davar kasha, just cutting bread, all you have to do is wipe off the knife. So one reason is because you're cutting bread, which is more kulidik than cutting cheese. But a bread, which is a davarach, there's no issue. So he holds it's enough kinuach to cut bread. And then the Kudusak Hesef, the Shach disagrees, the Einoi, Kamavula, Hedya, Vataras Chatos, the Filakte Pe Lechem, Lechalim Gavina, Tzarch Ne'itza. To do Lechat Chila, you always need the Itza, Chema Shkazah, by Zayin Lesa, the Dane Tzarch Lezeh, Allah Milsehi, Anan hachi loy mishum bliya mamish asrina la tzaynu betzaynu al mishum desakish shum lisei tach apana b'kir tashmish etadir v'sagi lei b'kinoach. That's what he says. A mashal machmer hach afil nisa lei mahari. Mashal is always the machmer heels, you have to kasher it. But anyway, the you have a machlek to shach and taz, if you're cutting bread with a fleshing a knife, it's enough kinuach, or you need ni'itza, this is all machlek is lechat chelam. Okay, adkan. Simit sadik dine kchal. Now kchal, when I learned Yeridei, we skipped kchal, barapam. And I'm going to explain why, and we're going to learn it very quickly. I hope, I don't know if we can do it in 15 minutes, but I'd like to. What? Which fish? Oh, cutting boards. I'm not sure what you mean with the fish, but okay. Okay, the Chachmas Adam, and we're going to have, we'll learn this more in Simit Sadik. The Chachmas Adam adds that the din of Dukka de Sakina is not only on the knife, but also on the cutting board. In other words, if we have such a Kabbalah that the pressure of a cut is puts ben, Chachmas Adam is machmir that it creates an exchange of whatever level of shamnunis between the cutting board and the food as well. And therefore, he's machmir on the cutting board as well. Now, this comes up as Rabbi Yosef is mentioning. There are people who go to fish stores, non-kosher fish stores, and bring along their own knives. A fish, a swimming fish, is kosher. If it has scales and fins, it's a kosher fish. So they go into the fish store, and they find a fish store that's cheaper. And they go in, they buy a fish, and they tell them to cut it up for me. They don't want to... Fish have stomachs and inner organs as well. Many people see, you see a whitefish at a bris. Amazing! So the cavity where it's slit under the belly, where there's a cavity that has an amazingly tiny collection of organs, and it has a heart, and it has a stomach, and intestines, etc. It's interesting, when there was a tumult a number of years ago over worms in fish, which is an issue, we actually purchased two live fish, brought them to yeshiva and cut them up to see, under Rebelsky's guidance, to see what happens. And the first fish that we cut, we couldn't understand what we're talking about. There were no worms. They had said then, they were correct, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But they had said then that fish, the proper way to clean a fish is to slit the bottom of the belly, remove the inside organs, and then cut up the fish. There seems to be a style, don't ask me the chachmas. You know, Chazal say that it's the women who have the bina and the chachma. So I don't understand the wisdom of it, but the women had decided that a piece of fish is much better if the keyhole is whole, the hole is complete. You know what I'm talking about? A piece of fish has the piece of fish, and at the bottom you have the two flaps. Those two flaps are around the inner organs. In the fish, am I being clear?
Yes.
Right? You have a fish, you cut it this way, so you get a slice that's something like this, you know, it has the piece of fish and the two pieces of carne. So the ladies wanted this to be whole, which of course is much more delicious.
You just
stuff it that way, okay. So I told you it was a chachma. So how do you do that? If you're going to slit the stomach, you can't glue it together. So therefore, what did they do in the fish store? They took the fish, they left the stomach and the organs inside, so they sliced it into pieces, then each piece they cleaned out the inside. And what happened is that when they cut the stomach, the worms came out. There are two types of worms in fish. There are worms that are in the fish itself, which is not so shriach, and there are worms that are in the food that the fish eats. How the worms get there, I don't know. Maybe the fishermen have these worms on there. No. I don't know how the worms get there, but there are worms in the stomach. And when you cut it, the worms from the stomach come out onto the board, onto the knife, onto the fish. And therefore, they were finding worms in the fish. And therefore, they decided to require that the stomach be slit or the cut on one side, and they push out the inner organs, but they can't cut it that way. So it's interesting, when we cut our first fish, we didn't find any worms. The second one we did, it appears, and you'll pardon my saying so, it depends how shortly before it was caught, the fish had a fish's equivalent of a bowel movement. In other words, if it emptied its stomach, then they were not, it got rid of its worms together with the rest of its waste. If its stomach was full, then there were more worms. And I guess, you know, you can't predict what fish you're going to catch, and that's why there was a problem. So there are two issues with going into a treifa store with your own knife and telling them, take that fish, you see the scales, you see the fins, and having them cut it on their cutting board. There are two issues. One issue is the Chochmas Adam. The fact that the Chochmas Adam says, this duchid the sakina on a cutting board. And number two, the worms issue. The fact that the guy, these are not gigantic worms, these are tiny worms. And the fact that they're not so makbid on the worms, and therefore you're going to have a worm issue. So these are the two issues which are negeya. If somebody does want to go into a non-kosher fish store, and out of town, there are people in towns that don't have a kosher fish store. And they bring in their own knife. You should bring in your own cutting board. Bring in your own cutting board. And fish, a live fish is a davar kasher, yeah. Yeah, live fish is a davar kasher, I believe so.
And
I think so, yeah. No, the problem is that treif and fish were cut on the same board. So the board is treif. And now that shamnunis is going to come onto the fish. If you want, you can do it with the skin and remove the skin. That'll be a kadek klipa. That'll be good. If you don't eat the skin, it's a fish that you don't eat the skin. So that'll be fine. I don't think so. We have to see. I don't think so. I don't think so. The contact of the knife is not a dukkha. I'm not sure. I think not, but I will have to wait to see. Now, what?
Where they get pushed into the meat?
Apparently, it's not so simple to do it.
How do you
do it? Yeah. Okay, I wanted to do Chal in 15 minutes. We'll try to do it in 12. But I just can't read all the words. But I have to explain the issue of Chal. And then we'll try to learn. The problem with chal is the following. Now, obviously, the issue is the chal is an udder. The udder has milk. And milk and meat are a problem. The minat Torah, there's no issue. Cholav shchuta is mutter minat Torah. The milk that's found in an udder, minat Torah, is pariv. And it's not even fleishik. And there's no issue. However, with the Rabbanon, for obvious reasons, there were guys on cholav. On a chal. The problem if Hilchis Chal stems from the fact that the Gemara says very little. The Gemara says that one of the Amiram told the Shamis to cut it up before he cooked it. Kamat, every Rishon has a different Shita on the way the chal is to be. There's Rashi and there's Taisvis. There's the Rambam in the Rif, but the Rambam says a little different than the Rif. In the Bali Taisis themselves, the Rosh brings Taisis with a slight shinui. So there are three primary variables in Chal. Three things that could change and then make a shaila. The biggest one is, when you have a heter to cut open the Chal, which the most effective way that we're going to have is you cut it chesiver, excuse me, you have to cut it in both directions, v'toch b'kaisel, and you have to press it either against the wall or in a press, and squeeze out the milk. After that, you're allowed to do what? A, is it a heter for tzli, or even for bishul? Now tzli, we know from Hilchis Dam, tzli takes things out, makes it drip out. Is it a heter for tzli, or even for bishul? That's one machlokes rishayim. Second machlokes rishayim, even if you hold it's a heter for tzli or bishul, is it a heter to cook it by itself? Or even a heta to cook it or roast it with other meat. Are you allowed to cook it with other meat? That's a second issue. And that's a second issue. And the third issue is the degree to which you have to cut it. Is it enough to just cut it, or do you have to cut it chasiv eir v'tach b'kaisel? What degree of cutting is needed? So there are three shitas in the Rishayim, and we're going to learn the Mechaber, which is the sheet of the Rambam, and of course the Rama, which is the sheet of Taisus. The Rambam says, Chal, Pirish Hadad Shal Behema, Osim in Divrei Seifrim, Shein Boshin, Nispasol, Mechol of Shchuta, Osim in Atayra. Because Mechol of Shchuta is Mutim in Atayra, Lefika. Im Karai Umeira Kachol of Shabai, if you just cut it and drip, let the milk drip out, Mutil Etzloi Seh Eloi Echloi, you can roast it and eat it. Im kara shesav erev v'toch b'kaisel, asher nishal b'ay lachluchas chalav. If you did the superior type of cutting it, motelavashloi, you're allowed to cook it, and not only you're allowed to cook it, im basar, you're allowed to cook it together with other meat. So we have so far two things: a small amount of cutting is for tzli, and a greater amount of cutting is for bishul, even with other meat. Chashalai karai, beishal katana shalai hinika beishal gadaila. A chal that was not cut, whether it comes from a young calf that was never manik or a gadaila, also lavashlai. Vim over ubishlai bifnei atzmai koshkin tzalai mutalaychlai. Bidiyaved. There's a difference if you did it by itself or not, according to the Rambam. B'di'eved, if you're over in Bishlai, say if it was just a chal, you're allowed to eat it. In Bishlai, in basar acher, but if you cooked it with other meat, you put it into your chicken soup. B'sharen I say b'shishim, then you need shishim against the chal, v'chal min aminyim, and the chal counts into the shishim. I'll explain chal min aminyim, we'll talk about the pot also. Keitzadim hoya ha'koyel im'achal k'moy shishim b'chal. If all the meat, including the chal, was like shishim against the chal, hakal aser, the chal stays aser. The shishim doesn't help for the chal. Hashar mutter, the rest of the pot, the contents of the pot is mutter. Vimhoya pachas mishishim, hakal aser. So the Rambam pretty clear. What? The chal is aser like every yisadavuk. Every time you have, let's say you have meat that has chalav on it, and you put it in the chalent, the shishim against the chalav. So the chalent is mutter, but that piece of meat that has the chalav stuck to it is aser, because the iser davuk is by leia more than the rest of the pot. And that's the...
Does it become like a chanan?
That's an issue, wait. We'll see in a minute. U'misharin, benkach u'benkach, imdofu l'kadeira acheres, oiser oisai, u'misharin oisai, besamba kabirishayna, if he falls into a second pot, you have to measure again. You look at it, and that's how you measure it. Now, this is all the Rambam Shita. This, the Ramah I told you is in the next sif. The Rambam Shita is basically that it depends. For tzli, a small amount of cutting. For bishul, a large amount of cutting. With tuch b'kaisel. B'di'eved, if you didn't cut it, so by itself, we don't aser it. You cooked it with other things, it's aser and you need shishim. The one difference is that when we say shishim, by chal, you only need 59 against it. We say chal atzmai min aminyan. It's a funny thing. Chazal guys are shishim. They made two exceptions. One needs 59 and one needs 61. Anybody remember what needs 61?
Eggs.
We said eggs. Chazal said needs 61. Because Chazal were afraid you're just going to count 60 eggs. Not all eggs are identical. And chal only needs 59. There are two reasons. Some say since chal is not mikra adin, it's a drabanan. So Chazal said 59. Chazal says, what do you mean? Every drabanan needs 59? A pashtus, this opinion holds. They made a hecker just that chal is not real basa b'chala. People think it is. Or the reason is because the chal itself is meat, like the rest of the meat in the pot. It's not the chal which is iser, it's the milk which is iser. And therefore, now the difference between the two reasons is if you cook the chal once, and now you take the chal and you're cooking it again in a second pot of chalent, now you still need 59 or do you need 60? If, because it's a drabanan, it's still a drabanan. It's still only 59. However, if it's because the chal itself is heter, now the chal itself became iser, and now you'll need 60 the second time, which is the Ramah's chumra in this Ramah. Im nafa, chila, kadeh, shein bashishim, and esar chal, nafa lakach, and derach heres, ena chal mitzarif, l'si samach. If it falls in the second time, it's not mitzarif. Now this is all the Rambam's psak. In Siv Beis, the Mechabes says, the mini Yisrael, nagu, Shaloi levashloi in basa klal. Never to cook the chal. Don't forget at home. Tell your wife not to cook it with meat ever. Levashloi beloi basa betigunai bepashtita. You want to fry it or put it into a knish. Matzuchin kriya shasivayr v'ticha b'kaisel. Ulitzli kriya shasivayr. And like the Rambam said, that to do a lechatchila by itself, you have the same requirements, nothing changes. So the minhag is never to cook it with anything else. This is all the shita of the mechaber. Now we'll turn to the next page, which is a long Ramah. Im aver bishlay, im karei shasi ve'er v'tachei b'kaisel, yesh lahat b'di'evet. Now it's very important to understand, it's a little misleading. Im aver bishlay, if you over and cooked it, this means if you cooked it with other meat, as it says in Taz Hay. It's misleading otherwise. Now, if you cook it by itself, you don't need to have some meruba. If you cook it together with other meats, he says, have some meruba will make. So the minig in the time of the Ramah was to cut it many times. Not just one shesi verb, to cut it many, many times. Adif, that's better than tach b'kaisel. Mahani yaisa meticha b'kaisel. Ticha b'kaisel is a kula. If you want to cut it many times, that'll get the milk out even better. Ulitzlin aigin l'chatzil l'kari shesi verb to ticha b'kaisel. That the Ramah, the meaning is always to only use the udder with shesi verb and ticha b'kaisel with the superior type of cleaning. Miyum, avar v'tzalai afil b'lai kriya. Shari, and this lechud b'lay basar imai. But for the eved, sli itself is mutter. V'nitzla and basar imai, if you did it with other meat, the nikra shesi veritachai b'kaisel shnei mutarim. So again, a lot of variables. If you roast it by itself, it's mutter b'di eved. If you roast it with other meat, the meaning is not never to do it with other meat. If someone already did it, shnei mutarim. V'lav el yemut atachtei nasir. If you didn't cut it, the top one is mutter, and the bottom one is asr. The top one did not get plius from the other meat, and the other one did. Shemun is hapech hashbud. We say top and bottom, that's only if you know about it. Since this is all a chumra, you don't have to be machmir and say, maybe the shbud was turned. When we say, not allowed to cook it lechatchila, hu adin, you're not allowed to fried tzayla, to do it in a pot. Letage means not cooking it, you're roasting it or frying it in a pot, b'loy basar. Even if you let the chal dry out, so the minig l'chatchila, you can only do one thing with tzli, and that is to roast it by itself, l'shesi v'eir v'tacha b'kaisel. Okay, there has to be some heter, because the Gemara says it's mutter. So what we do is we take all three variables, the most kuladika thing. The cutting, we do the most chamadika, I mean the most chamar of all three. We cut it the most chamadika way, we do only tzli, and we do it without other basar. If you have all three kulas, it can't be asr. The Gemara says that there's something that's mutter. So therefore, that's what we do. But b'di'eved, imar b'rabishlai b'kneir levadai, but if you cooked it by itself, b'di'eved mutter, b'nikshesev erev b'tachay b'kaisel, miyu. Once it dried out, it's mutter b'di'eved. V'lasis pashtita v'nachal, to make a knish from this chal, b'lay basar, nago by heter, im ein oifen ha-pashtita k'machvas. Now the pashtita has to be cooked in a way that things could run out of it in the oven floor, but not in a pan. Avo b'machvas dinoi k'may bishol b'kdeira, and a pan is the same as in a pot. Yesh pirushim ha-machmirim chal pashtita m'lay nisiyabish ha-chal tefila. Yesh machmirish lo'y lafis pashtita k'chal im shel basar b'tan or cotton. Not to cook this pashtita with a k'chal together with meat in the same oven. Rakesh aniach echad v'fiya taner. One should be by the mouth of the taner, one inside at a distance. Toi v'zal chatchil af ki eni elachum rabi alam. So this is basically a rundown of the different aspects of using a chal. My understanding is that the chal is not a delicacy, it's not something that people like to eat, and that today it's not really something that comes up. Now people ask, what about the kalim? That's of gimel. Basically, we're not machmer on kalim. Mutta lachte chal reiseach besachin shechot chay beibasar, koshkin chal chay. You're allowed to cut it, even if it's hot, with a flesh of knife, apishi malay achalav. You're allowed to use the same plate for your chal and other meat, because the mechaber shita is there's no gezeira of bli ice on a chal. You're allowed to use the same spit for a chal and other meat. could serve it on a plate together with basar tzli. Dilachat tzli asakchal dina kashar basar lechol davar. That's the mechaber shita. Ramah says no. Davka shenitzla kadinai. Ramah says this kula that we make on bliyais is only if it was nitzla kadinai. This is a second sheet that's all misleading. He says vidavka. He's not explaining the mechaber. He's arguing with the mechaber. Says it's davka shenitzla nitzla kadinai. Dainu shakarot tchila shesiver v'tochi bekaisel. That's only if you did it the way our minig is with the best type of cutting it up. Avalim ova v'tzolei b'loy kriya. But somebody was over and he roasted it without cutting it. I kriya muetas. Kol advarim ba'elo l'chatchila asurim. Then we ask it a kelim l'chatchila, but the evad akal mutim. V'im korei kedinei v'tzolei, if you cut it properly and you roast it, afa b'shamotza achra agumais malei eschola v'elochush. So it's the same thing as elchaz dam. If you salt it properly, and then you find dam, that dam is called tzir. So unless it's a black and blue mark, but if you find dam in normal meat, that's tzir. Same thing here. If you did a kedin, you find milk, a lachosh, chedim aniyach, kach shalem, kaidim tzili asai. If you leave it whole before you roast it, kaidim tzili asai, mchalba yoyim shalem, mutter. Interesting thing. You might think if you leave the kal for a day, it's kavish kemavoshel. In the kal, there's milk that's kavish in the kal. So now it should become asai by itself. So he says, you don't have to be chayshish for it. I was thinking this should be a raya. We spoke once about whether live skin is maflet. Right? The chumrah that something live could be pilot. So we said for many achrayim that live flesh is not pilot time. Well, chayr, it's a raya from here. Because he has the bavar, and you might think that the chal is kavush. That if the shechita, if you let the chal stay with the milk, it's kavush, it becomes basar b'chalav. So what do you mean? It was kavush when the cow was walking around. It was also kavush. So, what? It changes its milk every day. No milk stays 24 hours. That could be. That could be. Okay. That's not a right. Sifdalik. Litzlais kal oilamolchay imabasa. Now we're talking about getting the blood out of the. Every meat has blood in it that needs to be kosher. So we know there are two ways of koshering, either through tzli or through salting. So litzlis kavai l'molcha imabasa dina kidin tzlias and melichas kaved imabasa. The same as the kaved, as you know, a kaved we roast, and we roast it never under meat. We put it on a. It has to be on an open fire. V'yesh v'shemate l'molayach klal imabasa v'ein l'molcha imabasa avu b'di'eve b'chol inyam mutter. Or hakeva. Now why is he talking here in the middle of chal about the stomach? The answer is because the stomach also has milk sitting in it. A calf nurses, and the keva, which is the third stomach, is the stomach where liquids go straight. Liquids don't go into the first and second stomach. They go straight to the third stomach, and the milk sits there. So that ara keva is similar to a cow. It has milk in it. Ara keva la'acha shu'usa chel bay mitaychai. After the chalav was removed, v'hutchu, you wash it out, yesh le'din sharbasar, umutu l'malchayim sharbasar, in le'din chal, klal. The stomach is like a pot, like a cold pot. You rinse out the milk, and there's no din of absorptions of milk.
That milk
is pirsha. Remember, we said the milk you find in the stomach has been a pirsha bialma.
It's
a very digested. Yeah. So alkaponim. This is the halachas of chal, man hashlama se'inyin. Someday we're going to make a siman yore day, I believe that. Yeah. From all these Sundays. So man hashlama se'inyin, we went to the tzaddik. Next week, tzaddik aleph.